Hello, it's good to be with you again. If I haven't met you before, my name's Mike Sams, but it's great to be here this week to open up 2 Peter 3 with you. Let me pray, and then we'll get stuck into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we'll see today, as Peter wants us to recall the past and have clarity on the future, we will have a greater understanding by your Spirit of our eternal reality. Amen. Now I'm coming to a realization that I'm getting old. Now quite a few little smiles and nods there, and I reckon it was coming from two different angles there. I reckon there's some of you that was saying you're not old at all, and I see all you younger people who are looking, man, you are really old. I'm coming to that realization. I'm 45, and I don't think I'm going to... That's over halfway, I reckon. If I get to 90, I reckon that'll be amazing. But I've been always quite proud that I haven't had grey hair, and I still really don't. And pretty much all of my closest friends, all my mates, the other guys, have grey hair. And I've enjoyed that fact for quite a while. But yesterday, my daughter Chloe, I'm combing my hair, she goes, "Dad, you see that right there?" And she took great delight in that. And it was just another reminder that now I have to deal with grey hair, not just the hairs that are growing on my ears, which is another reminder. And this isn't a talk where I'm just going to share my midlife crisis. But I want to bring it up from the fact of whether you're looking at me and you think, yeah, you're really old, or you're looking at me and you think, you're not that old at all. If we think about time from God's perspective, I reckon all of us in this room are newborns. And I reckon that's all we're going to see today, that our life is short and it hasn't been going that long when we see God's perspective. And what we're going to do today, as Peter drives us to, is to consider our lives in light of time and the time that we have. So let's get stuck into it and let's have God's word challenge us in our perspectives of how we think about the length of our life and where our focus should be. So right at the beginning, we see this, the reason for it, in chapter 3, verse 1. If you've got it open there with me. And we see, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." So not only 2 Peter, which you've been looking at over the last few weeks, but both letters Peter wrote, he's written as reminders. Something for you to go back. I want you to remember stuff. And I don't just want you to remember stuff because you've got to do something, and remembering things is good and it'll keep your brain working. No, I want you to remember things to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to remember a whole bunch of things about God and who he is and what he has done, and the reality of those that say that there will be people who want to speak against it. And I want you to think in a way that pleases God. I want to think in a godly way, a wholesome way of thinking, and you do that by remembering. So that's what we're going to do. But why does he want us to do that? Well, what's his purpose in it? Peter wants us to have a different perspective. Have a look at verse 2. "I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles." Peter just then has explained why we have a Bible that is so meaty. Why we have a Bible that is historical. Why it spans centuries. Because God wants us to recall what he has done in the past. What his plan of salvation is, as revealed to us in the holy prophets. We read one of those prophets, Joel, and his very stark warning about reality today. And he wants us to recall what our Lord Jesus did through his salvation and the commands that come with it that the apostles have given us. See, I think this idea of recalling shouldn't be that far away from us, because we have to do it so much in life because we're forgetful. And when you become a parent and your kids, you need to train and start to teach things, you realise that being a parent, you could summarise, is a life of trying to get your loved ones, but I don't say any frustration, your loved ones, it's a life of helping them recall what you said. Just this morning, my youngest gets up, it's 10 to 6, I got up and he's already up, that's another thing, but it's 10 to 6 and he's got in his hand his little Nintendo DS, his little game that he plays. I said, mate, do you recall that last night we said there will be no tech at all today? And he's gone, oh yeah. And okay, well, let's put it down. Or yesterday, before soccer, and he puts on his soccer pants and there's massive mud stains on there. And I said, mate, do you remember last Saturday after soccer, and the Saturday before that actually, where we said, we'll wash them, but you have to put them in the laundry sink and just put the scrubbing stuff on them and then we'll sort it from there? Oh, yeah, I forgot. And I could go on. But as I said, this isn't about my grievances. But that's what it's like. As kids, even now, I need to learn to remember things that I often forget. And you do that by going back and reminding yourself. And Peter is wanting us to see we need to recall what we know to be true. Why? Why is this so important? Well, there's many reasons, and he picks out one in verse 3. He says, above all, you must understand that in these last days, scoffers will come. Scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. It's important to recall, because if everything isn't finished, everything's not done, there are people who are going to say, I told you, nothing's getting better. The promises haven't been fulfilled that God's made. Everything's going on as it has. It's a waste of time. Forget about it. Where is this coming he promised? And what they do, we see Peter says, is that they do something quite strange. They deliberately forget. Look at verse 5. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Even more so, verse 7, by the same word the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. You see, they forget that God is the one who made everything and that he is the judge. And that he has actually shown that through history. And we need to remind ourselves of that. And it's not just like, oh, I didn't know. They're purposely rejecting. They're deliberately forgetting about it. And there's a greater judgment to come. That on your own, you cannot endure it. As Joel chapter 2 ended with. And so we have recalling what God is about. Or deliberately forgetting. Where do we sit? We can choose to refuse to accept or recall the seriousness of this reality, the eternal reality, as these scoffers have. I had it in the past when I was at university, a really distinct moment of scoffing for me, because it was deeply ironic, because what happened very soon after was, just started uni and I'm walking with some people who were in my course, so we're kind of just finding out if we're going to be friends, you know, that whole kind of when you meet new people. We're at uni and the Christian group at uni, I think it's called UBS, had the big sign of people advertising to come along, and they were scoffing about as if you'd come to university and do that. And I remember very distinctly kind of scoffing with them. Yes, if you would. That's ridiculous. That's stupid. Only for 2 years later to be the president of that group. You see, where do we sit? Peter's talking to brothers and sisters scattered, and he wants them to remember what God has done. And he wants them to remember really in detail what God has done, the seriousness of this reality, because it totally can be avoided because of what God has done. And for some of us who are here today who may be wrestling with who God is, this warning is so that we can see how good the eternal picture is. Verse 8, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. We remember God sees time very differently to us. It's a totally different way of seeing the reality. See, what does he say in verse 9? We see the reason to it. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, God is on a totally different level when it comes to the scope of time. This illustration, I think, it just makes it so starkly clear. 1,000 years, 10 plus lifetimes, is like a day. Can we truly wrap our head around that? That illustration? That for God, a day goes quickly for us, right? 1,000 years is like that for God. He sees a far bigger picture than we can imagine when we get wrapped up in our life. And when it comes to playing the long game, God's vantage point changes everything. We sometimes, stuck in one of those lifetimes, that at its best gets to 90 to 100, and so it's not even a bit of a day. And we need to remember God's perspective. See, what might look like there's a big problem, when we understand this, we see there is a bigger picture. See verse 9 again. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as the scoffers will say, right? That's the some understand slowness. He's not slow. Why? Because he doesn't want you to be caught up in the reality of rejecting him. Instead, the second sentence in verse 9 starts with, instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, it seems like it's slow, but he wants us to recall the past. Just think of Moses and the people coming out of slavery. For centuries, they were in slavery. For centuries, some people's life, God's people, all they had was being slaves in Egypt. Think of all of Israel, the promises made to Abraham, which were God was going to give you, you were going to be a blessing. There were going to be many offspring and blessing to the nations, and you're going to have your own land. And they kind of had it, and they kind of lost it, and the nation gets split, and Israel's in a mess. And different generations of God's people are experiencing exile. And then there's the gap between the Testament, 400 years where God is silent. A whole generation of God's people having God being completely silent. And it seems like in our life, life could also be slow. Think of your own pains and trials and troubles. They're real. We're not mitigating them. Think of how messed up beyond yourself this world just is. We don't need to spend much time looking at how broken the world is in every aspect. Think about how many lives are just so unfair. How many lives where the sum total of their time on this earth has just been completely unfair, where they've done nothing wrong, humanly speaking, and they've not been looked after, they've not been cared for, they've been in poverty. You think how many people are in that situation? I mean, COVID is still going on. We can't really still gather now, and it's been so long. This is the reason so many people use to reject or even blame God, and maybe even some of us here. But God sees time very differently. And he wants us to know the bigger picture. Well, it doesn't answer everything because we're in it. It helps us to see that he's giving us an opportunity to step out of that for all eternity. He's giving us a chance to do one thing. The solution, he's giving us a chance. Do you see the last word in verse 9? He's giving us a chance to repent. We have the opportunity of repentance because God is slow in his judgment. Without his slowness, if you like, the opportunity to turn back to God is not there because we would be caught up in the mess of this world as we have all rejected him in some way. If we recall the promises of God, if we recall that Jesus is on the cross, and not that he stays on the cross, but that he rose again, and that he ascended into heaven, and he's interceding for us, and that eternity is the promise, and we see that past, we can have a bigger perspective that God is wanting us to have. And we also have to have that perspective because God's patience will end. And friends, you have no idea when it will. It could end with Jesus turning up as I speak right now. Or it could end with your life. And we just don't know. And that is why we have this beautiful warning in verse 10. It may be familiar to you. I hope today we take it with us. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Why am I suggesting such kind of harsh words are such a comfort? Because when we have that reality, we turn to God now, and we know what we are resting in. He is going to come when he comes. And we can't say, that's tomorrow Michael's problem, or tomorrow your problem. Because maybe there won't be a tomorrow. You see, while we live in our life and our lives, we can get caught up in forgetting this bigger picture God reality, can't we? We can get caught up in it in all sorts of manner of ways. We can get caught up in it in just the good times of life. The joys of relationships, of kids, of family, of holidays and the fun that we can have and the happiness that we seek and these things that are blessings from God. We can get caught up in them that we forget that actually these are just little snippets of an eternal reality. Or we can get caught up in the harshness and just the grind of life. And it is hard that you've got to manage all the different things that are going on, whether it's the dealing with school and university, to managing your house and your finances, and the kids need the next thing, and I'm not sure if I've got enough insurance and superannuation for retirement, and it can be a burden. Or we can forget the eternal reality because of sickness and our pain and suffering and the heartache, emotional, physical. Or we can spiral into guilt because we've done things wrong in the past. And we can forget that God is coming back and it could be any time, or my life could be asked of me. And he's already offered the solution. And my life should be focused single-mindedly on that. This is why this passage is so important to us. Because this warning and the scoffers that say you don't need to worry about these things that Peter is saying, they can come from you. And wouldn't it be tragic if you come to church every week that you do God things and yet you never turn back to him? That you just kind of went around the surface of Christian things, but you never made the decision that Jesus is Lord, that I trust in him and I turn back to him and he gives me life and I now live a life trusting in him. It's a great passage to remind us we don't have all the answers, and God's slowness is not something that we should shy away from and hear people scoff and think, oh yeah, that's a real issue, but actually it's the great thing that we need. Even though it does bring up a lot of questions for us. So friends, I think we see in this passage, what we need to do is we need to recall the past and look to the future to shape how we live now. When you read the Bible, when you hear it taught or reflected upon, in your day-to-day life, how often are you seeking to recall what God has done to build trust and confidence in him and his sovereignty and in his promises? Do you come back to the cross and go, yeah, the cross? Or do you keep going back to the cross and wanting to understand the beauty and glory of it because it has happened? And no matter what happens in your life now, you know because of his death and resurrection, eternity will be there. Do you use the cross to remind you of your reality? When you're struggling with the things that challenge our faith, do you line them up and spiral into worry and concern about them? And sometimes they're big questions, separate of the realities that we know God has done. Or do you line them up with, I know God's sovereign. I know he's trustworthy. I know he has died and risen again. We recall the past and look to the future. And so how do we think about the future? We need to be really crystal clear. There is an eternity, not just a tomorrow. In our newborn state that I suggested we all are, don't forget, there is an eternity. Don't just live for what's happening in the next few days, the next few years, the next few decades. Because your life may or may not get easier. Your life may or may not be happier. Your best days may be ahead of you or they may be behind you. But with eternity, there will be no pain. With eternity, there will be pure joy with God. With eternity, there is perfection. And so we remember how urgent our understanding of this reality is. And so what shape does my life have now? It should have a life of repentance, turning back to God. A repentance that embraces what God has done and has given us life, And because of this life that he gives us, we now embrace a life of repentance where we constantly come back to him and hate when we get it wrong and acknowledge our ever-ending need for his grace. And as we did today, we do that knowing we are forgiven. We live a life of true repentance. I think 2 Peter is telling us today, understand God's perspective, because eternity is just around the corner. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's extraordinary to hear that for 1,000 years is just but like a day for you. But as we grapple with that and wrestle with that, we see the glory in it, and that you are so gracious and kind and loving to us that we have that time to turn to you. Thank you for your patience. We pray that we will, if there's anyone here who needs to trust in you, that they can see that today, and that we'll all continue to live in that, and that those around us, that we will want them to see the urgency of the situation before us. Don't let the scoffers, our Lord, shape the way we live. Let our understanding of you and how you've acted and the future glory of eternity shape the way we live. Amen.